it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Excited to welcome Keith Wood to the show. Keith, how are you getting on?
I'm really good, Neil. How are you?
Good, good. Let's get this Twitter sideshow out of the way first. I'm not sure how much you're reading into this, but is there a world in which this is the perfect cover for South Africa to launch a bit of a revenge mission this week?
Do you know what? The Twitter stuff is just it's fairly ludicrous, you know. And I don't know whether it is Rassie's account or not. He says it isn't, so let's just take him at that. But I've always hated the sideshow of coaches kind of slagging each other off. It maybe takes some of the pressure off the players, but I always find it a little bit not whether it's unedifying or not, but it just seems to be a little bit average. So I hate when that chat kind of starts, to be honest. There is pressure on South Africa. There's pressure on the Lions as well, because they got their tactics wrong in the first half last week, changed it at halftime, were incredibly lucky. I think some of the decisions went their way, but they got the result at the end. You know, it was an incredibly nervy game, and the level of pressure that they were under was very significant. But it actually, there could have been a try just as easily given. There could have been a yellow card. They could have been down to different players. And so the style that did work for them at the end, they were still very lucky to do it. So it's whether they can meet a, I suppose, more prepared South African team. They have another game under their belt. They've played very little rugby in 20 months. This is an opportunity for them to get back onto it. You can only imagine the pressure that's in the South African camp for them to go and deliver. So look, I think it'll be an extraordinary test. This is the one now that I was always kind of not worried for, but in pure expectation for, because this means either the Lions win the series or it all kind of boils down to the next one. And because of that, it's going to be brutal, because the way the teams have been set up, both teams, it is going to be the most aggressive test that I'd say we've seen since the last Lions tour in South Africa. And so that makes it exciting, if a little bit frightening in equal measure. I mean, I looked at the game at the weekend and I loved the last minute of the game. But up to that, it was nerve-wracking and tense and not full of skills. It was full of quality of a different type of pressure and intensity.
Who had the upper hand, not so much physically, but when it came to the aggression of the game? Because that was one of the things that Erasmus was a little bit annoyed with afterwards, picking Cheslin Colby up off the ground. I presume that's what he wanted to see as a Lions supporter, though. Does it suggest that Lions maybe had the upper hand in that department?
I don't know. That in itself was, I thought it was a bit of, I looked at it, I remember looking at it at the time, that could be a penalty, and then looking at it again, said, yeah, maybe, no, it's not. I think it actually could have been either. But whether anybody had the upper hand, I thought the Lions did a really good job of annoying South Africa. And that's what you actually want to do. You want to be able to try and take them off their game, try and let them get to the point of where they lose their cool somewhat. And I thought South Africa lost their cool a lot in the game. They gave away a huge amount of penalties, which they do give away penalties. That is part and parcel of the manner in which they play. They play on the edge, but they gave away an awful lot and left the Lions back into the game. I mean, look, it reminded me of second test from 24 years ago, where South Africa had did it pretty much everything, but we had a goal kicker to just pop the ball over the bar. The exact same thing happened last weekend.
What did the Lions do to cause that frustration then, Keith? Because like it's kind of been the thing with South Africa for the last 2 years, where you know what you have to do. You have to frustrate them and you have to make them lose their discipline and disrupt their set piece. But actually going out and doing it seems to be an entirely different story. So how did they actually set out and go about doing it?
Well, actually, you wouldn't believe it, but actually one of the pieces that really frustrates them is that you stay in the game, you know. So there is a sense of confidence, arrogance that South Africa always have had, which is they can overpower the opposition. So if they put all their pressure, all their power on top of you and you're still in the game, that really drives them mad. And actually, the change from last week to this week is going to be, they're just going to ramp it up even more. I mean, it'll become a distinct lack of subtlety. And yet they cause gaps to open in a back division because of the weight and strength in which they take the ball into contact. But when, you know, like, I think they were left off the hook a couple of times by the referee, by the TMO. They weren't left off the hook, but it was pulled back to that point. That just drives them mad because they feel they're better. They feel their superior side stronger, more cutting, more higher winning capability. And when that doesn't happen to them, it just drives them mad. So it isn't anything particularly. I think there's a few bits of verbals. There's a little bit of holding people onto the ground that drives them all mad. And it's always edgy. But the point is never to take a backward step. And their expectation is that they'll steamroll you. And actually, when they don't do that, that frustrates the hell out of them.
You said when you first came on with us how much you loved the gap between the first game, between the first test and the second test, because we've already seen the first game and, it comes down to, like, the series decider, essentially. And, can the Lions go and win the series this weekend? Can South Africa set up a deciding third test? If you look at 97 and 2001, those series that you were involved in, 97, you're 1-0 up and you go and do the job in the second test. And as you say, it was down to South Africa kind of losing their cool and keeping you in it with kickable penalties. 2001 in Australia, you're 1-0 up and took a bit of a heavy beating in that second test, having started it really, really well, and ultimately go on and lose the series. So you've kind of seen both sides of it from that point of view. And I'd be curious to know, were there differences in those weeks from first to second test when you look back at it now?
It's hard to look back to that length of time. And, when I look at the one in South Africa, I don't think we took anything for granted. We knew that the second test was going to be harder than the first. I have to say, I think we also knew that if we didn't win the second test, there was no way we could win the series. We didn't think we'd win the third test. And we never mentioned that, but the tour itself was attritional. This isn't as attritional because there isn't the amount of games. There's been a lot of training. But there hasn't been many big games and we haven't lost a huge amount from injury. But I remember that sense that there was, you could be humiliated, and that's an amazing impetus. You don't ever want to be in a position where that happens. In 2001, we went into the game, the second game. We were incredibly, one of the best performances from the Lions in that first test. I mean, we absolutely tore Australia apart. It was a good Australian team, a really good team. But we didn't really score in the last 20 minutes, and we didn't score in the last 20 minutes of that tour, and we struggled a lot at that. We definitely overtrained. But we were confident going into the second test. And I think you'd always think, because of it's a different physical challenge, that actually we'd still be able to do a job in the third test. As it turned out, we all fell apart by the time of the third test. We were lucky to get a team out onto the field. Mm-hmm. We had Andy Nicholls came off a tour, a sort of social tour, to sit on the bench for the Lions in the third test because we fell apart. But I do think there's you don't go into a game in South Africa and you say, yeah, we're confident we can play really well, but you don't go in kind of saying, yeah, we have this one got already. You just can't, because if you do that, they can steamroll you. So I think that was the difference. A bit more fear in South Africa in 97, not as much fear in 2001.
And fear is a wonderful motivator, isn't it?
Do you know what? It can be a great motivator. It can also make you panic, and it can also, have that sense of where you don't really get going. You become a little bit too tight, and people don't run the lines they're supposed to. They don't have their hands up as quickly as they could. They can panic a little bit. It can put you under additional, that sort of bad pressure. Pressure comes in a variety of different ways, stress in a variety of different ways. Some stress is magnificent and you need it just to heighten your performance. some is debilitating, and that's one of the parts you don't want to ever have.
So what's your take on where the South African fitness will be then in the second test?
I think they'll be better. I think some of the guys will have it a week for more rest or recuperation from COVID, because I do think that that's is something we haven't really talked about too much, and that there was a good crew of their guys had been down with COVID, and even if it was asymptomatic, it still is affecting, and if it's a lot of people, it can affect the fitness on the team. There also is the match sharpness. I think they'll be the better for it. I think their combinations will work a little bit better. I don't know that that's necessarily a thing for the Lions, because I don't think the Lions are counting on combinations. I think they're counting on kicking the ball out of their half, getting the ball back and waiting for penalties and taking the odd opportunity that they can get, which is a good kick into the corner, score off it. They showed that pretty fantastically at the weekend. So I don't think we're going to see a huge amount of flashing the ball from the Lions. And originally the thought was if the Lions could run them off their feet, they'd be very tired in the second half. Well, as it turned out, it worked. But there was a fair element of luck for it to work. So I don't think the Lions want to have that situation now. So it'll be an arm wrestle as described, but hopefully not up the guts arm wrestle, because I don't know that we're big enough to actually do that. And the players that performed incredibly well last weekend, Itoje and Courtney Laws in particular, are they going to have the same impact? Because they were truly extraordinary, the best games I think I've seen them play. So will they be able to back that up on the week, or will they be targeted for additional pressure from South Africa?
Mako Vunipola, Conor Murray and Chris Harris all into the team. What is Warren Gatland trying to do when he brings those three in?
I think he's trying to shore up issues that happened in the scrum. I think that's a fair comment. I think he's also trying to shore up a sense of defence, and I think that becomes very important to how they play. Also, Ali Price was picked to speed the game up. Actually, when the game was sped up, the Lions struggled, so it didn't suit them, the combinations, because they have no history of playing together. It wasn't as slick as you'd like it to be. So I think he's gone back to a game that they know they can do, which is a good territory game, good possession game in the opposition territory, which leads to penalties. So, look, it's like it's just intriguing. I mean, I love this particular week because we're trying to figure out what's going to happen. But the idea that South Africa will be as ill-disciplined, the Lions are kind of counting on that being the case. And yet South Africa will be counting on that not being the case. But it's very hard when it's wave after wave after wave. So that just makes it really, really interesting. And I thought when Conor Murray came off the bench the other day, his kicks had a really high return of getting the ball back. So that just puts pressure. So South Africa are looking, all they want to do is get their hands on the ball. And that led to extra penalties at the end of the game. So I think that they're brought in for stability. They're brought in for a stronger defensive setup. And that's what the Lions have to do, because even when they were playing in the last period of the half, the second half, when they were kicking the ball, when they were getting it back, their defence started leaking a little bit. And there, for the luck of a forward pass or a knock on at different places, it could have been a different result. And that's the joy of, for me, that's the joy of rugby and test rugby, is that one bounce of a ball can make the difference from people being heroes or losers. And that's proper pressure, proper stress.
What do you make of the circus, Keith, around the TMO Marius Jonker? It seems like he's been put in a position now from, first of all, when there was the reports last week that Warren Gatland was furious that a South African TMO was appointed, to the point now where everyone in South Africa is giving out yards about him being there, about how he can't make a neutral call because he's maybe overcompensating. He's kind of been left in a fairly impossible situation now.
Oh, he's been totally hung out to dry. Be careful what you wish for in many respects. Look, it's poor organisation that there wasn't plan B, plan C for this tour, when travel is limited, when there's so much riding on it. To not actually have a backup TMO is very poor. And so I think they've made a bit of a mess of that. When I looked at his decisions, My issue with the TMO is it needs to be glaringly obvious, as opposed to let's watch it 25 times and there may have been the possibility of a fingernail touching that ball, knocking it forward. I don't agree with that. I just think the game slows down too much. You lose too much impetus. Actually, it makes the fans angry, actually. And that's something that's also quite annoying. So on that side, I think that's not great. I thought it was a yellow card, at least, for Hamish Watson. I thought that was glossed over very, very quickly. It was picked up over the horizontal and pushed down. So for me, that was a yellow card. You can understand why South Africa are arguing about that. They were very gracious, I thought, immediately afterwards. They lost some of that during the week through that Twitter kind of nonsense that was going on. But again, that's a preparation thing that should have been organised long before this tour happened. There had to be backup guys.
You mentioned the Twitter nonsense there again. So I meant to put this to you earlier on. The headline in The Guardian yesterday was that South Africa's Razzie Erasmus has abandoned grace and dignity. Is that also just going way too far on Razzie Erasmus?
Whoever writes the headlines just tends to lose the run of themselves, you know. And I often
they have abandoned grace and dignity.
They have. Yeah, I often know when you read guys and these really sensible articles that are written below those headlines are quite entertaining, and you can just imagine the columnist who says, "For the love of God, would you stop trying to over-egg it?" You know, and but that was. Signed, sealed, delivered, judge and jury that it was Rassi who had done all of it. I do think Rassi running on as the water boy, that's pushing it and it's wrong. You know, that's simple. Let's not go that he's losing all integrity with it. I think it's been a bit messy at this stage. As I said, I don't like the coaches slagging off the other coaches or the TMOs or everything else. Actually, I don't think that's right. So, let's see if we can get the headline writers to tone it down just a tad.
Back to the game itself this Saturday, Keith, just to touch back again on the teams that were selected, even when you look across at the benches, South Africa going 6-2 split on the bench, Lions putting Talupe Faletau in there instead of Hamish Watson, and even then as well, when you see Jasper Visa coming in for Quagga Smith into the South African starting team. Like, all those ingredients are there for this to be monumentally physical, as you were saying, probably, you know, the most physical game since the second test in 2009.
Yeah, and look, I thought South Africa had a very strange selection last week. I really did. I thought Quagga Smith he's a sevens player. He's interesting, but he's absolutely not a South African number eight. And Jasper Visa is, and he's young and he's very inexperienced, but he is a lump, and that's what they want. They want a big, heavy guy who carries the ball very well, who causes as much destruction as he possibly can, and other players play off. That's the manner in which South Africa plays. So I thought that was an unusual selection. I thought their front row last week was, selection was poor at the start. And it's quite interesting when you look at how these happen, because I can't remember a time when a Lions front row went against South Africa as favourites in the front row. You know, that just doesn't traditionally happen. So there is an awful lot of lack of game time in that South African front rows. So I think they're putting all their eggs into the basket. For me, Kitsoff, and traditionally, is a finisher. He's not a guy to start the game. But I thought the South African back or front row, when they came on in the second half, I thought they brought no energy whatsoever. So the idea of the bomb squad from South Africa, these are the guys that come on and cause carnage and tire out everybody. Well, for them to do that, they have to bring energy and they have to bring their A game. And I don't think that they did. I thought they were a tiny bit subdued in the second half. And now they've been, a couple of them have been given the chance and the opportunity to go and start. But my God, do they need to start well. So I just think it's really interesting. There's so many little battles. There's so many sideshows that happen in all of this. And again, I go back to, for me, there's a beauty in this. I thought the game last week wasn't great in terms of quality, in terms of the amount of mistakes. I've played in those games, and that doesn't mean they're not great games. It just means the quality wasn't great, because an awful lot of the play stifles the other play out. And that's what happens. The nerves do. The amount of knock-ons the last day was quite incredible. But that happens. That's kind of part of it. But it's all the little sideshows and how one decision or one bounce of a ball can change the momentum for 5 or 10 minutes. That's why these games are must watch, because, as I said, I enjoyed the final minute when I knew the Lions had won. But up until then, it was absolutely in the balance. That makes it a great competition to watch.
That's what you want. That's all anybody wants, is that tension throughout the whole thing. So this Saturday, that's what's going to exist once again, I get from what you're saying, Keith. I also get the sense that maybe you think South Africa might edge the second test.
Well, it's funny. I called it last week on a conversation we were having, which was I thought the Lions would win the first one. And it was funny. I was asked, what did I think overall? And I said, oh, well, I thought the Lions would win the first one. I thought South Africa would win the second one and South Africa would win the series. I'm amending that now, if I'm allowed. I do think South Africa will win on the weekend. I think it is. They have to, almost. And that is, whether that breaks them or makes them, but I think it'll make them on the weekend. And then it comes down to who's injured, how players have got through it, how battered both the teams are before you make a call as to what could happen. And I think that would make for phenomenal support to the whole Lions concept if it's one all and goes down to a decider. And I think that would be a great position to be in for the game, because it's been very difficult for the last year and a half. So, yeah, I think it's South Africa. I think it's going to be unbelievably tight. Another sort of edge of the seat sort of game. No enjoyment, really. Gaviscon is needed for the stomach. That's just what it's going to be like, I think, for the whole game.
Right, well, try and enjoy maybe the aftermath, or even if you can get a few minutes at the end, that would be great. Keith Wood, great stuff as ever.
Cheers, Neil. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Keith. Right, here on OTB Sports, we're broadcasting every game from the British and Irish Lions Tour South Africa, live and off the ball. Lions legend Brian O'Driscoll joined Neil Tracy on the commentary on the first test on Saturday, and we'll be bringing you the second test live again this coming Saturday. Our Lions coverage is brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.